Hi everyone, Dave Biddle here. Dan Rubin and I have a great show for you today as we answer questions from Bucknut subscribers. If Ohio State does not land David Gabriel George on Wednesday, where do they pivot as far as running back recruiting for the 2027 class? When we look at Ohio State's brutal schedule this season, what do we think is going to be the toughest game for the Buckeyes to win? That is just a sampling of the questions that we're going to answer on today's Bucknuts Morning 5. I'll talk to you guys soon. Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Wednesday, July 20th, 2026. I am Dave Biddle, very happy to be joined by Dan Rubin. Mailbag Monday is back in full effect. A new feature Dan and I are doing. We're not going to do it probably during the season because there's going to be so much to talk about 2 days after an Ohio State game. But a bunch of good questions to get into. Before we get to that, late breaking news right before the show started, Ward Manuel will be out as Michigan's AD at the end of this calendar year. This was first reported by Pete Thamel, and I saw it first before the show even started. Tyler, over here on YouTube, I posted it on the show well before it started. I'm like, that's how I heard it first. So, Tyler, you broke the news to me. Ward Manuel out at the end of the year. I'm just surprised, Dan, that he lasted this long.
What did he do? Did something go wrong there? I jested before the show, Dave, that, and I've said this as we regurgitate our shtick. If you just wrote down a list of all of the infractions in the last, 36 months, it would stagger you. And they're kind of, there's some gross ones in there too. So I don't really have a good explanation as to why it took this long. I think the term you use, he knows where the bodies are buried, is very relevant. And I'm not sure this era is going to be looked back on with much fondness unless you believe you can sell your soul to the devil and still come out on top.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I don't know how the average Michigan – I mean, I'm sure everybody feels a little different. I don't know if they're like, well, the means justified the ends because, we got a national title in football and basketball. It's like, okay. I don't know. I like what Ohio State's doing. All right, let's get to it. All right, first question. We know Buckeyes have a brutal schedule this year. This comes from 32 Buckeye Forever, Bucknut subscriber, longtime Bucknut subscriber. What will be the toughest game to try and get a win in 2026 and why? I would say at Texas just because it's at Texas. They're very talented, and they're going to have that revenge factor. The semifinals in the CFP in 2024, of course, which is also played in Texas. And then last year in the opener, they're going to be like, really thirsting for blood. I don't know if that's going to help them or not. I'm going to pick Ohio State to win that game. I'll tell you that right now, Dan. But and listen, there's so many, especially three, you could make a really good argument for, maybe four. But I'm going to go with at Texas as the toughest game.
Do we agree that it has to be a road game?
It depends on how you feel about Oregon. Last time Oregon came to Columbus, they won. So, I don't know.
Yeah, but I would say that I'll have faith in the shoe to that extent. So, you got five road games total. And I think, you've mentioned the ones that are going to be difficult. At Texas, at Indiana are the ones that jump out. There's an at Iowa in there. There's an at USC. The fifth one, is that Nebraska? Am I wrong?
I think at Nebraska's, yep. And that won't be a gimme. I mean, I think the Buckeyes will be fine, but yeah.
So I think the argument for me comes down to three games. The Oregon game at home, which I'm going to put that third. And then it's the question of game two, open with Ball State at home. And then game two against at Texas, like you mentioned. And it's in the middle of the season, game 7 or 8 for Indiana.
That's going to be
You've got a bye week. Excuse me?
That's going to be so surreal. I've told you this. I've been to Memorial Stadium more than any other Big Ten stadium by far. Like Michigan Stadium would be number two, but I've been to Indiana a lot more than I went to Michigan. We'd go pretty much every other year because it was a nice, as you know, living in Dayton yourself now, growing up in the Dayton area, it was such an easy drive. And we would take over the stadium. Like,
well, yeah, and we knew you were going to get
85-15 Buckeyes every freaking time. And then this year, the defending national champs, it ain't going to be like that. Still going to be plenty of Buckeyes in the house, but it's just going to be surreal that Indiana will actually have a home field advantage over Ohio State in their own stadium. But I digress. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, that's the key stretch of the season. I believe it's at Indiana by at USC, home for Oregon. Is that right? In the stretch there.
Nice little stretch, huh? Yeah, at Iowa is going to be
– yeah, and at Iowa is no joke now. I'm scarred.
Exactly. That's a tough place to play. I've been there. I've only been there a couple of times, but, you know.
It's interesting.
They're, like, right on you, too. The fans are right on you at Kinnick. Yeah.
And in Iowa at home and Iowa on the road is maybe the most Jekyll and Hyde team you can get. I mean, Iowa at home is no joke.
Especially
so you got five road games. None are easy. Not a lot of road games, but none are easy. And I guess it would come down to at Texas and at Indiana. To me, it's a coin toss. It's probably at Texas, like you said, just because the spectacle, how early it comes. And Texas always puts out physically a tremendously talented roster that can usually trade punches with us. I think that's a good guess. It's one of the two.
Yep. I'm really curious to see how Josh Hoover does because I think that was a good get in the portal. Very good get because, as we all know, like when the portal opened, there was like two main quarterbacks that people were debating. Who's the best quarterback in the portal? Is it Brendan Sorsby or is it Hoover? It's like, well, whatever you thought about it then, like Indiana got the right guy because they did not get Sorsby, who ironically began his career at Indiana.
We'll see how Hoover does.
I think – go ahead.
I do find it interesting that people are just assuming Indiana's quarterback is going to be as good as they had last year.
I'm not assuming that. He's going to win the Heisman and be the number one overall pick of the draft? I don't think so.
That helps win games.
You're all right, though. People aren't acting like there's always the disclaimers, at least like what I've read is like, hey, you know, he was great. Mendoza was great and all, but, you know, Hoover, you know, also really good. It's like, we'll see. I think he's good. But to think there's not going to be a considerable drop-off from Mendoza, I need to see it first.
I think people are just totally sold on Kurt Cignetti right now. He's got almost like a mini Saban effect going on.
Rightfully so, too. It's still one of the craziest things. Let me rephrase that. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen in sports. If you would have told me 2 years ago at this time, Indiana was going to do what they did. It's just insane. It beats Buster Douglas over Mike Tyson. Now, I'm not the one thing I've heard it compared to. I got into the World Cup. I always get into the World Cup, but I'm not like a guy that watches like European soccer. I don't watch the Premier League. They don't call it the Premier League, the Premier League. But I have had my friends that like the Premier League said the best comparison might be a little team called Leicester
that Leicester maybe went City.
From. Leicester went from like, you know, third tier to second tier, maybe even worse, even lower than that, second tier. And just the fact they were in the Premier League was like great for them. And then they won it 1 year.
By the way, they're back.
That might be the comparison.
They've since been relegated back to the Championship League.
There you go.
Thank you for that. It's incredible. And people have used the stat. We always use the stat when Ohio State and Michigan play. It's like, who has the most wins in the history of college football? Indiana had the most losses.
Right. And they did it, and a lot of people blew it off as a fluke. They did it for 2 years.
Yeah.
Even what he did that first, coming in, calling his shot, Indiana's over-under for wins that year was 5.5, by the way. Took them 6 games to hit the over. And they played. People act like Ohio State blew them out in 2024. That game was like a tight game at halftime. Ohio State went up only one score at halftime in that game. So it wasn't like they came out and just blew the doors off Indiana. The final score was good. So just being able, and then so Indiana's 2 losses that year, most wins they've ever had until this past year, were against Ohio State, the national champ, and then Notre Dame in the playoffs, who ended up being the runner up. So even what he did in 2024 was just like next level. And then to follow that up in 2025 with the national championship, again, I'm not an English soccer guy, but that to me would trump like what Leicester did, because they didn't back it up. They didn't have like another great year. You know what I mean? Fair. So I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know. The Indiana thing's very interesting.
All right, we better get back on the track here.
What I find interesting about Indiana. Full
digression on you, Dan.
Yeah, but what's going to be interesting is he took so many people from James Madison, and that crew has petered out. It almost makes me interested more in Penn State, because they're bringing 20 of 22 starters are coming from Iowa State.
Iowa State East.
So they're trying to do the James Madison Northeast approach. I'd have to actually get my map out. Don't get on me if I'm wrong for my Virginia, Pennsylvania geometrics. Going to be interesting, though, for sure. I'll say this. Cignetti's not a young man, despite his brown hair that's the color that doesn't exist. I really wonder if they have a great year if the NFL is not going to come calling, because he doesn't have a lot of time. And he does have a Western PA accent. So I could see if the Steelers don't do great with their new head coach, Mike McCarthy. I would not be surprised if the Steelers made a run at Cignetti. I'm kind of hoping to speaking that into existence, because here's what I guarantee you. You're not replacing Cignetti with Cignetti. Let's get him out of there.
All right, switching to running back recruiting. Now, hopefully the Buckeyes land David Gabriel George on Wednesday. It's still Wednesday, right? And it's on CBS too, I believe. DGG will make his announcement on Wednesday. All right. This is from Triton K on Bucknuts. They don't get DGG. What are the options if they don't get them? And do you and Dan, like, weigh in on whether you think, still think it's 50-50? Weigh in on your vibes here, whether they will get them or not. And then what are the options if they don't get DGG?
Well, if he wants to go home, he can go to Cleveland. Or if he really wants to play with the Timberwolves. Oh, wait a minute. We're not talking about the LeBron decision. Which one's going first? I had a headline last week saying which one would go first, tongue in cheek. And LeBron may be waiting for DGG. He was waiting for the World Cup to end. He may just be waiting for DGG to make his call. So Thursday for LeBron, maybe.
Hey, LeBron, before, so he's probably, you know, writing the checkout, you know, because you had Adidas up in the offer, you know, for DGG with Tennessee. So maybe LeBron in my fantasy world, Dan, is now like writing a big old seven-figure check to help land DGG. Probably not, though. Probably not.
I don't have anything to change what I said earlier. If you want to know where he's going to go, if you have a coin handy, grab it and flip it. I will say there is a tremendous amount of confidence coming out of Tennessee. Their beat writer, Ryan Callahan, claimed they're the favorite after the visit to Tennessee. I've not heard that corroborated on our end, but maybe that's just the case. The question is, what will they do if they don't get him? This is an interesting topic. We ran the Buckeye in the Sky commitment evaluation of Elijah Newman Hall last week, the running back committed in the class after that. And people thought we were doing it to lessen the blow of DGG going elsewhere. We're not that planned out. I'm not playing that level of chess. That's 3D chess. I can't handle that. I'm more of a checkers guy. So, I don't want this to sound like being a Pollyanna or slash show, but it is running back. And if they do have to pivot, I think you could be very successful here. Running back's also one of the positions I wouldn't care if they didn't take one. And then who blossoms their senior year? Keep in mind, you're dealing with 17, 18, 19-year-old kids. Everybody, this is all fluid. There's going to be someone to blossom in their senior year and increase attention. See, look no further than Jahmyr Gibbs, who was committed to Georgia Tech, played at a smaller Florida school, blew up his senior year. I believe he was player of the year in the state. Alabama and Ohio State were all over him. He honored the Georgia Tech commitment. And I remember people saying, we were discussing, like, is he going to transfer to Alabama or Ohio State? Just a matter of time. And we didn't win that one. But, yeah, it's possible for guys to blossom late. So this is not just a Pollyanna approach. I think they will go after, I believe his name is Jaden Miles, running back out of Baton Rouge, currently verbally committed to Florida State, 6'2", 203. Very interesting prospect. Was interested in Ohio State, but I think they've kept all other backs at bay here until DGG commits. It's a coin toss. If you want a thread to really take off, get the Tennessee and Ohio State fans on there talking smack.
Even the Ole Miss fans are in there now too. That thread is hilarious. I went in there and said, this thread is going exactly like I expected.
Right.
Tennessee fans and Ohio State fans are just trading blows. And then the Ole Miss fans are in there. Like, don't forget about us. Like, all right, if you want to get in the mosh pit too, go for it.
And we do have kind of a recent past with Tennessee.
Yeah.
Like my thing was, if everyone comes out for DGG's announcement with their shirt off, he's probably going to Tennessee. You don't get that one, Dave? But
sorry, I was reading the chat.
I said if everyone comes out with their shirt off, he's probably going to Tennessee. Used that shirt like six times. And it's going to be gone soon, so I'm going to run it out. But, yeah, I don't know. It's a coin toss. It'd be great to get him. He is I do believe he is one of those few running backs, and as Mark Porter has coined the phrase, force multiplier. He'll just make life easier on whoever the next quarterback is, whoever the next offensive line is. But I don't think it's the sky won't be falling should he choose to go to Tennessee. And look, we've been in tussles with Tennessee before. We had the David Sanders commitment. We lost that one. We theoretically lost the Legend Bay conversation, recruitment for a little bit. Definitely won that in the end. So this is not new territory. Tennessee, maybe not on the football field, but in the recruiting arena, they can swing around a nice size checkbook. So going to be very interesting. Nothing would surprise me. The idea that the Tennessee part to me doesn't, in terms of where the Baylor schools in Tennessee, I mean, he's a Canadian fella at a boarding school, so I'm not sure that that plays too much of a role.
Right.
But I'm sure the Baylor school does have some ties to the university that we don't have. But, Carlos Lachlan's been all over this guy. He targeted him a long time ago. They've made no bones about it, and they gave it a good faith effort. The discussion of the money, I mean, to me, having gone through these recruitments before, these high-profile type guys, I'm not sure the content being thrown around on the money is always accurate. Very hard to pin that down. I'm not sure we've gotten to the point where NIL reporting is accurate because of the financial aspect to it. I'll tell you this, it's going to get plenty. But I do believe that Tennessee probably has a more lucrative offer financially. Depends on what he's interested in going forward.
If you go to Tennessee DGG, good luck to you, but maybe only sign a 1-year NIL deal in case you want to, transfer after a year. Ask Quinshon Judkins how that went at Ohio State. I mean, he went to Ole Miss for 2 years, but that's the thing. I mean, John Walker, Ohio State finished number two for John Walker. Where does John Walker play now? I'm not comparing John Walker's impact to DGG. I'm just saying.
We also finished number two in the recruitment of a guy I like to call
Caleb Downs. And Julian Sand initially as well. We finished number two to Julian Sand. Yeah, I know.
By the way.
On and on and on and on and on and on.
So there's another question.
Keep that relationship. Keep that relationship going with DGG just in case. Yep. Hopefully they just land them on Wednesday. Hopefully the coin toss goes in our favor. Tails never fails. All right. This is going to be a quick one for me. We're going to go back to 32 Buckeye forever, and we probably should go a little quicker anyway, so we don't do like an hour show. It's going to be like the preseason edition of Bucknuts, What We Learned Live after every game. Yeah, What We Learned Live coming back at you guys after every game this year. Dan wants to host it, I think. No, I'll host it again, Dan. The 32 Buckeye forever. If you guys had to name a weakness on the 26 team, what would it be and how would it get fixed up? I've been saying, Dan Rubin, I don't see a weakness on this team. Do I see some things that I would like? Would I like a Caden McDonald back at One Tech? I like the strength in numbers they have at D tackle. I like the top four D tackles. They don't have an absolute like just stud like Caden McDonald. So there's areas I would like to see like improved a little bit. I see zero weaknesses on this team. What about you?
I feel like a homer because I was doing the same thing. I was like, weakness. So weakness isn't good. Like, I'll say this. Ohio State football should not have an obvious weakness. I mean, unless something happened. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, why would we have a weakness? That doesn't make any sense to me. We shouldn't. The only one I came up with was maybe defensive experience. They're not the most veteran group. They lost some linebackers. They lost a lot of defensive line. Their number one corner to me will be a true sophomore, though I have plenty of confidence in Team Sanchez. But I feel like a homer, but I don't really look and say, oh. I mean, I guess if you want to play the national narrative, you could say offensive line, but I just don't believe that. So I'm not going to fall into like a lemming to that.
I like that it's not all national people too. Sorry to interrupt. I love that Phil Steele, I've seen a couple others, but you're right. Most national scribes, when they're talking about biggest question for Ohio State, they all say offensive line. Phil Steele ranks Ohio State's offensive line number two in the country. If that happens, and he has the D line ranked number one, if that happens, look the freak out for number two and on the O line and number one on the D line with all these weapons. Woo, let's go. I'm getting fired up. I'm getting fired up, Dan. All right. You're going to like this one, Dan, because it's going to fire us up. This is from D. D. Is it Deegs?
Deegs.
D. Deesh? D-E-E-G-S-H. Okay, there we go. After I butchered his or her name. I think it's a him. All right, he goes, what makes the Buckeyes beat so confident in saying? He goes on. It's a very long question, but he's just like, you know, it feels like he – he says the last two games were not all on sand, but, you know, he said also part of it was. I agree with that. I've said that all along about those last two games. I think most of it was, like, offensive line, and I thought poor coaching. You know, there was the offensive coordinator upheaval situation. Certainly some was on Julian as well, no doubt about it. What makes the Buckeyes – the Buck Nuts beat. He didn't say – I was going to say, I can't speak for the entire beat, which is the largest beat in American sports. I don't know what my fellow beat members are saying about this. I know what Dan and I have been saying about it. We find it to be nonsense that people wouldn't have confidence in saying. I have the utmost confidence in him. Just the way he played as a redshirt freshman. Now he's got 14 starts under his belt. I think he's going to be at least in New York as a Heisman finalist. That's why I'm confident in saying. Dan, why are you confident in saying?
I would need more reason to not be confident. I'll give a list. One, it was his first year as a starter. Two, his pedigree to this point, has been immaculate. Great high school quarterback, super highly rated. Nick Saban wanted him as the future of Alabama, and then he came here. So Nick Saban and Ryan Day have signed off on him. If that's not enough in and of itself, think about that for a second before you move any further. Ryan Day and Nick Saban both wanted him. If you don't, ask yourself this question. Do you think you know better than Ryan Day and Nick Saban? You might. I'm not saying you don't. You don't. His completion percentage heading into the final games of the season was incredible. Somehow, no one we played was any good until the last two games either. They were all terrible. We played, it was like Beaver Creek every week for Ohio State.
Hey.
Oakwood. But I'm not off on that as much. I thought they beat the teams in front of him and he played great. What do you want him to do? People don't like him because he's not a gregarious. He's suffering from following Will Howard in some respect. Will Howard is nowhere near the passer of the football or the overall talent at quarterback that Julian was. But he is the poster child for gregarious leader of your football team, quarterback, big dude. We talked about this. He played that role as well, better than anyone I've seen do it at Ohio State to this point. That's just my opinion. I'm not saying he was the best quarterback, but the quarterback thing, the getting up in front of the media, the saying the right thing, the saying tough things, the being kind of a, not Eddie Haskell, but he'd be good in front of the media, and then you see him talking smack on the – he was a guy you could rally behind. You know, he's a real gregarious, you cannot expect Julian Sands' personality to change and imitate Will Howard. He's not going to do that. Point D. Will Howard was 23 years old when we won the national championship. Sam played last year, what, 19, 18?
19.
He's 20 now. That's a four-year difference. Ask yourself what you were like at 19 and 23.
Let's not do that. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you'd be – thank God there were no phones. That's all I'll say. I say to everybody, thank God there were no phones.
I mean, you lived in the ghetto at UD. I mean, I imagine there – I don't even – you're really, really, really glad there was – and you're in a fraternity. Yeah.
Natural limitations has not run out on certain infractions, so let's keep that below board.
I'm pretty sure they have, actually. All right, let's
– so, there you go. I think people – and I get it. He's not going to be John Elway and run up on third and three and helicopter for 4 yards, okay? Right. He's not going to do that. Got to get over that. If that's what you need in a quarterback – and look – I think you could really say that their issues in the red zone last year were probably not having a running quarterback like Will Howard. Will Howard also was not an average running quarterback. He was really, really good. For a guy who's not a running quarterback, he was as good as it gets. Go watch some of his highlights from Kansas State. Go watch that last drive at Penn State. We had to secure the win. You could just fullback him. We're not going to get to do that. If you think we need to do that to win, you're not going to be happy because that's not coming. He is more of a Drew Brees type, excuse me. And I just think, look, had he not thrown one pass, had that Keandre Scott not intercepted that one pass, everything would be different.
Yeah.
He was a Heisman semi, or he was like in the betting for the Heisman. He would have won the Heisman Trophy. I don't know if people realize that. We lost Indiana. How many points did Indiana score? That game was not a blowout.
No, if Ohio State makes a chip shot field goal, it goes to overtime. Like, my gosh. And Ohio State played Indiana really tough. And then played Miami tough, too. Just that pick six, that was a killer. All right.
And that sticks in your brain. And he threw a couple early interceptions, threw one at Michigan. That's fine. Relax.
I can't wait. I can't wait. I think he's going to have a tremendous year. Again, great thing about sports is we're going to find out. And we're going to find out soon, baby. I'm going to be in Chicago next week for media days. And then the week after that, camp opens. Like, it's going to be here before we know it, my friends. Like, 2 weeks from now, camp opens. Ohio State's preseason camp. Let's go. And then the season will be here before we know it.
Hollywood Hager questions my ghetto hangout abilities. He doesn't understand about the University of Dayton that the student neighborhood is called that.
The ghetto.
Oh, yeah. I am from the mean streets of D.C.
That's right. Yeah, you and Dave Chappelle from the – Dave Chappelle, you saw, he still jokes about that. He's like – people would think like Dave Chappelle would be like – people think I'm like from the hood in D.C. He's like, I never lied. Okay, he grew up in the suburbs, Silver Spring, as you know. And he goes – I never lied. He goes, but like, yeah, he's like, but I never corrected them either. So people thought, you know, I had the street cred of growing up on the streets of DC because he's like, nah, I actually grew up in the suburbs. I just never corrected anybody. But, oh man. Okay. Let's move on to this one. All right. Brave Shark 1980. What impact do you guys think the new special teams coach will have? Who will return punts and kicks? Then he throws in, will the Reds trade Hunter Green? I'll say no on the last one for now. I don't think they'll trade him this year. What impact do we think the new special teams coach will have?
That's all you. All you.
Disher. Yeah. Coach Disher bringing him over from Illinois. Who will return punts? What kind of impact is he going to have? I don't know. I mean, like, Connor Hawkins comes in here and is like Mike Nugent light and has a great year as a kicker. Are we going to put that on Disher? Are we going to say that's, you know, that he did that? Probably not. Robbie Disher, I think it was a good hire. I got a chance to meet him one-on-one, kind of talk off the record. Very serious. He's a young guy. He's in his 30s. I want to say he's in his, like early 30s. At the oldest, he's like a mid-30s. Young guy, very, very professional. I just like the fact that Ryan Day addressed the problem. Went out and found the best kicker in the portal. Went and got poached from another Big Ten school. One Ohio State's going to play this year, Illinois, and a solid program. Burt's doing a pretty good job over there. Able to poach a special teams coach. They returned the punter. I thought Joey McGuire looked better with his distance. He's always been consistent. He's been okay his first 2 years as a punter. And I thought in the spring, and they were talking about this, he needs to add some length, add some hang time, looked like he did in the spring. So I think now as a third-year guy, McGuire's going to be a good punter. And Ryan Day says they found the best long snapper in the portal. So you add it up. I like that they, you know, really address the problem. Now, can I sit here and tell you that Robbie Disher is going to make a huge impact? I do not know that. I don't know that at all. But I'm confident that the special teams will be better than what they have been. I'll say that. Kick and punt returner. Jeez. Now, if it was up to me, Legend Bay is all over that. All over it, both of them. Kick, and as long as the ball security is there, and you have plenty of practice time to find out, and then games as well. If he's out there dropping the ball against Ball State, if you put him out there, then audition over, at least for now. I want Legend Bay all over there. Now, realistically speaking, and maybe Disher has a different view on this, but since Ryan Day has been there, they've been pretty conservative with who they put back there. I won't be surprised at all if Brandon Ennis is once again the punt returner. I hope it's somebody more explosive. As you guys know, I've been like, you know, kind of saying, hey, don't sleep on Brandon Ennis this year. I don't think he's going to be a stud or anything, but I think he's going to surprise some people this year and be a very solid number two or number three receiver. We'll see. Devin McEwen's going to be heavily in the mix. So is Chris Henry Jr. But to answer the question, I think Brandon Ennis will be the punt returner, although I wish it was Legend Bay. And then I'll say Legend Bay as the kick returner. Again, that's probably more wishful thinking, but man, that'd be good to see him back there. But I'll go with Legend Bay as the kick returner. And they'll use multiple guys. They probably will put Brandon Ennis back there as well. And I'll go with Ennis as the punt returner. But give me Legend Bay for both if I had to. All right, I'll let Dan take the next one. Well, no, the next one is going to be an injury one that I don't know if we will really know too. But I'll still get to this. Buckeye and Cali. What is the health status on Turbo Rogers? How much do you think he will contribute this season? Well, they're very tight-lipped about injuries. We do have ways of finding things out. And I was told that he should be fine, that he's doing everything right now with summer conditioning. He should be fine for fall camp. Here's the thing with Turbo Rogers I would point out. Carlos Lachlan handpicked him. They're from the same area as from Alabama. And Carlos Lachlan didn't, like, you know, talk bad about Turbo Rogers during the spring. But when you look at his quotes about Legend Bay and his quotes about Turbo Rogers, it's like he gushes about Legend Bay. You don't hear him talk the same way about Turbo. So that tells me Turbo, even if healthy, he comes in fifth on the depth chart at running back. So he's one of those guys, if we were making a, you know, most likely to transfer after the season list, he would be on the top 10. I don't know where. Because right now I have him fifth in whatever order. I mean, you got Bo Jackson, obviously, as a starter, and then either Isaiah West, probably Isaiah West as a main backup, but Jacoby Jackson's going to play a lot. I promise you got a lot, relatively speaking. He's going to be a better version of C.J. Donaldson. And then Legend's going to play. Legend's that number four back. So Turbo right now, I think, is the number five guy up. Hopefully he stays healthy. What if all of a sudden some of those guys get banged up? They're going to might need a Turbo Rogers. And you got Favor Akee, who is a freshman. He's going to be, almost said true freshman, not a thing anymore, which is weird. Favor Akee will be that number six guy or number five guy if he can beat Turbo. So long answer there. I'm going to let Dan answer some of these now since I've been so long-winded with the last
two. You've been great. I couldn't disagree with one thing you said there.
Good. That makes me feel better.
This guy thinks I look like the doofus from Napoleon Dynamite. That hurt my feelings.
The Napoleon Dynamite?
No, his nerdy brother is like,
ooh. Oh.
He's like, ooh.
Okay, I thought maybe he thought you looked like Uncle Rico just because you can throw footballs over mountains.
I cannot do that. That guy is great, though.
That's a hilarious.
That's one of my favorite characters. He's like a great character actor, that guy.
Should have won state in 82. Would have won state in 82. Oh my God, Dan, you can throw a football over the mountains. All right. Now I want to watch that scene. Keep with us, guys. You can watch the scene after the show. Stay with us. All right. This goes to Dan Rubin, Tampa OSU. Dan Rubin, he put it to both of us, but I'm gonna send this to you. Dan Rubin, what are the chances that Julian Sain returns in 2027? And if he does, will Tavian St. Clair leave?
This is the best off-season question you can ask in a lot of ways. You know what I mean? Because nobody really knows, right? I don't even think the people involved, if you were to ask them now, would maybe have the same answer a year from now. If you know what I'm saying? Like, let's just see it play out. I really don't expect this to take place. Let me say that. I really do expect Julian to have a great year and head off to the draft and be picked maybe before his wide receiver. And that sounds crazy, but quarterback, I've said this so many times, quarterback should not be judged with any other position. If I was in charge, I would do quarterback rankings separate from all the other recruiting rankings.
What up, Brad?
Oh, you can hear him? He's outside, door closed, and still the little ruffian can
good. What's a Buck Ducks morning five without some dogs, Bob?
Oh, he's got some.
Let's go, baby.
He's got some juice. Plus, I don't know if anyone is in the Gem City. Might be the nicest day of the year so far. It's got your San Diego vibe after the Burma vibe we've gone through the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's been wonderful.
It doesn't look like Mars, although they said it's going to come back today. My buddy's up at Cedar Point, and he was like talking about, at least I didn't go when it was like really bad up there. And then someone's like, it's supposed to come back tomorrow.
Yeah, so
he's up there right now at Cedar Point.
So I've had my children in New York City. I had one who was in Chicago for the weekend. They had to stay inside one day. They got to go to a Cubs game the next day. And you're right. It did smell worse 2 or 3 days ago, and it's going to be coming back. I guess the wind shifted. Crazy experience.
It was really bad 2 years ago. I don't think it was last year. I think we had some last year, but I think it was 2 years ago when it was really bad.
I remember.
Seriously, it looked like Mars for like a week. Yeah. And comparatively speaking to like what Cleveland's been dealing with and like you mentioned, like
no
Detroit,
doubt.
Chicago, New York. I mean, we're actually relatively speaking like fortunate. All right.
Well, the question was, and we didn't get to it because we'd love to digress.
Sorry.
That's all right. We're men of the people. If Julian Sand came back, I could see that being an issue with Tavian St. Clair. I'll say this. I really don't expect that to happen. And a lot would have to take place between now and then, right? So we're going to get a chance to look at Tavian St. Clair a little bit, I would assume, this season. That will have something to do with it. I would guess team saying the camp expects him to be the starter next year. I think that's a fair statement, that he's probably expecting lineage-wise to be doing it. So I could see that being a difficult situation. But at the same time, I don't want to fall into the easy trap of people comparing Julian Sand to Kyle McCord. I think that's lazy. So I'm not going to do that.
It's also so far off.
It's just not accurate.
I don't even want to. I mean, I'll just.
But people are using that and then saying, you know what I'm saying? Oh, he's going to transfer and bring in another guy. Quarterbacks, we said this 2-3 years ago, more than half the stars in college football Division I were transfers. 2 years ago. So having and go look at every quarterback who's committed to Ohio State and who's gotten on the field. There's a gulf. We've gotten a lot of guys committed who don't always end up on the field and through some form or another. You want to start the season with Julian Sand as the starter and Tavian St. Clair as the backup. Let's not look at this as a negative thing. That's one of those questions like if – I don't know if gold gets even more expensive. So I'm not worried about that, to tell you the truth. That's one of the, do you know how many other programs would like to have that problem? I don't know how many Division I programs there are, but subtract one. That's us. I mean, who else would you rather have? Go look at college football. Would you rather have Dante Moore and Dylan Raiola? You'd feel more confident about that? I wouldn't. So I wouldn't trade our quarterback situation for anything. So the idea of complaining about it feels a little bit silly to me, or even worrying about it. Those things will take care of themselves. I'm just happy we got two absolute studs back there.
Next question from Fox R 2001. Interesting. I love all these questions. This is a good one too. Since Nick Saban's retirement, we've pulled in 4 recruits from Alabama, 1 from Mississippi, 2 from Louisiana, not to mention 6 from Georgia. He actually did mention it. I always get a kick out of that. We only say not to mention right before we mention something.
Well, it's like, just be honest. Were you lying before that? What's going on? We're changing the honesty here.
And I know it's a figure of speech and we all use it. Not to mention, and then you mentioned something. I get it though. But I like this. Four recruits. He's just talking recruits. He's going to get to transfers in a second. Four recruits from Alabama, one from Mississippi, two from Louisiana, six from Georgia, and then a number of transfers, as he mentions, with Quinshon, Julian Sand, Caleb Downs, etc. All from the Deep South. His question, how much of this success for the Buckeyes do you attribute to Saban's retiring, Ryan Day's appeal in building a top program, and also bigger NIL paydays than some of the SEC schools? He wants us to break it down in percentages. You want me to go first, or do you want to go first?
Well, give his percentages first.
Well, he said, for example, I don't think these are his percentages. Okay. He said, just give percentages like 50% Saban, for example, 20% Day, 30% NIL.
Go ahead.
I mean, you want me to go first?
Sure.
Yeah, I think I don't want to be like, I don't want to cheat and be like 33.3% for each, because they're all important. And I want to, when he says Ryan Day's appeal in building a top program, I also think that I'm going to lump that in with just Ohio State, like the monster that is Ohio State as far as like winning, exposure, going to the NFL, everything. I'll separate that from NIL, but just the, you know, the power of Ohio State being a Buckeye. And that goes in with Ryan Day's culture and everything he's building. I think that's the biggest part. I think that's number one. Close behind is Saban, and right that behind of that is maybe I would say those are kind of tied, because Saban retiring was such a windfall for Ohio State. As you've said many times, and I've said many times, Dan, nobody benefited more from Nick Saban retiring than Ohio State. Maybe some SEC schools would argue that, but so far no one's benefited more than Ohio State from Nick Saban retiring. So I will go, let me think about this. I will go 40% Ryan Day and just the beast that is Ohio State. And I'll go about, I'll go 33% Saban, 27% NIL. There we go. Did I get my math right there?
I'll go 50 Saban, 25.
There you go. I think I got my math up there. Maybe I meant to go 33, 27, maybe. Whatever.
You bit off more than you can chew there.
Yeah, they told me that wouldn't be math. Whatever. Who cares? All right. But, yeah, I mean, it's all three of those are huge factors. Ohio State stepped up their NIL game. I think there's like clearly a big five right now, maybe big six if you include Texas Tech, as far as NIL spenders in football, that being in whatever order, Texas A&M, Miami, Oregon, and Ohio State.
I mean, just
Texas Tech right there knocking on the door too. So there's a big six. We're in there. So that's a big factor. If Ohio State was not one of the major NIL teams, that would hurt. They didn't have Ryan Day in this culture and the monster that is Ohio State. They wouldn't be getting these guys. But Nick Saban retiring was huge.
Yeah, but Ohio State has always been the great Northern program that SEC people had somewhat of respect for, as much as they wouldn't say it publicly. Caleb Downs, even Saban was there, was down to Ohio State and Alabama. But look, like Carlos May, we just got a commitment from Carlos May. Where's he from?
Exactly. I love it.
So it's hard to say. I mean, you have to completely change it up. For example, like Caden Moss, we just got the offensive lineman out of Mississippi. That we've never been able to do that in the past. And, you know, Ole Miss is doing really well, but Saban just had a way, man.
Blaine Bradford last year.
Justifiably so. Go ahead.
Blaine Bradford getting him out of Baton Rouge.
Huge.
Going into LSU's backyard. And I know they had a coach. I don't even care. Like, because if it was one example here, and okay, that's an outlier. But we're like, here's 10 different examples of what's going on of Ohio State going down to the Deep South, both recruiting and the portal and landing studs. Yeah, it's just crazy. Going to Jackson, Mississippi. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And they're still doing it in this class. All right, let's get to the last question here. I got to get out of here and get some work done, get some work on the boarding house item I need to turn in today. All right, this is from Brighton Buck. It's been reported by a Buckeye insider that Adidas sweetened the NIL package in a way that may have pushed Tennessee ahead of Ohio State in the recruitment of DGG. The report also claimed that when Ohio State approached Nike about countering the Adidas offer, Nike's response was essentially, "We don't get involved with high school athletes." And then he goes on to say, "The confusing part is that there are now numerous examples of Nike signing NIL deals with high school athletes. Any idea what's going on here? Has Nike changed its policy, or is there more to that reported conversation? Dan, hopefully your answer is better than mine, which is I have no freaking idea, for the sake of the show. Do you have any freaking idea, Dan?
I do not. I don't know why Nike would want that policy known.
And wouldn't they help Oregon before? They wouldn't help Ohio State. They would help Oregon.
It's that would make sense thing. Considering the fact the owner of Nike. Yeah.
Right.
They were not going to. Yeah. I don't have a good answer for that one.
Yeah, it'd be weird.
I will say
the Nike school, but like, is Phil Knight going to go out of his way to help what Oregon must feel like is the pinnacle of the Big Ten, given what happened in the Rose Bowl? I know Oregon beat Ohio State that same year, but by beating them by 1 point at Autzen, ain't the same as getting rolled, getting embarrassed. You're down 34-0 in the second quarter in the Rose Bowl, CFP quarterfinals to Ohio State. Buck Rational's talked about this. I've talked about this. You've talked about this. Very easy to make your argument. That was the best half of Ohio State football. To just take that Oregon team and just roll them up and just spit them out, that was unbelievable.
Yeah, the undefeated number one ranked Oregon.
And making them look like they were like Oregon from the 1980s before they became like, you know, anything more than just a, at best, middling program. I remember going way back in the day. I think I got this right. This would have been in the 80s when or before Oregon was. It could have been Oregon State. It actually ended up being kind of a close game. We're like, what the heck? I think they might have played both Oregon State and Oregon. I remember being at the game as a kid in the Horseshoe, like, what's this crappy Oregon Ducks team that's giving us a game? Buckeyes won. But I remember thinking, Oregon. Then things started to change in 94 with Oregon.
They've bubbled up over the years and were good under Mike Bellotti, but they're nothing like they've been since they started putting fancy jerseys on.
All right, great stuff from Dan Rubin on this very lengthy version of the Monday Morning Five, the Monday Mailbag. Thanks to Dan. Thanks to all of you. Hope everyone has a great day, and go Bucks.
Google UD Ghetto, Mike.